Hey folks, this is Adam Mock from Made You Watch a Podcast with a quick call to action in case you guys ever want to drop us a line, get a hold of us, and just become friends. We'd love to have you. So our email is feedback@madeyouwatchapodcast.com, easy as that. Our Twitter is Made You Watch, just as easy. I'm at @ad_mock, Mel's at @spoopityboop, SPOOPITYBOOP. On Instagram, Made You Watch a Podcast. Mel is mel.ohh.dramatic, so Mel O Dramatic, and I'm Mock_Adam. We also have a TikTok channel called Made You Watch a Podcast, and we also have a YouTube channel called Made You Watch a Podcast. It's easy as that. So drop us a line, give us a request, talk to us. We'd love to hear from our fans, and we really love you guys. You've been wonderful, and we can't wait to hear from you. So until then, I've been Adam Mock, and we're going to start the show. I'm Adam Mock, a 40-something-year-old film critic, and we just watched one of my favorite movies about the 70s.
I am Melanie Weir, a 27-year-old writer, and I liked this movie better than The Sandlot, which it very much reminded me of.
And we're about to make you watch
a podcast.
Welcome back to Made You Watch a Podcast. And this week it was my turn to pick a movie for Mel. And unfortunately, we forgot that we were so caught up with the Valentine's Day episodes. We forgot it was Black History Month in February. And so we're about a day late on this.
But Black History shouldn't be limited to a single month anyway.
Exactly.
So this is fine.
So, and this was a movie that I had wanted to have Mel watch for a while. I really enjoy this film. I have so much fun with this movie. What are we watching, Mel?
We are watching Roll Bounce, which I don't know what I thought it was about, but it wasn't this.
It's from 2005.
Thought it was older. Something about it seemed very late 90s to me.
Well, it's the way it's filmed.
Mm-hmm.
It stars Shad Moss, who you probably know as Bow Wow or Little Bow Wow, as this kid named Xavier. They call him X, and it's 1978 Chicago, and he and his friends love to go to the roller rink and do like roller disco, mm-hmm. basically.
Everyone has that one summer.
Whose is this? Huh? Boy, don't try to act like you didn't hear me with them big ears. You probably heard the sun come up this morning.
When everything changes.
There goes our summer. And we can't keep nothing open in the hood.
I'm not raising boys. I'm raising men. It's just us now, son. And I'm gonna need you to step up.
That's what I'm talking about. Catch your Al Green outfit looking like little Lionel's the Wizard of Oz. I'll fight you with one hand behind my back. Put him up.
Guess we gotta go over to Sweetwater. I'm not going all the way to the north side to go skate.
On the floor, cause we're gonna put...
Marry me?
Who y'all supposed to be? The food stamp crew?
Nah, man. These are the welfare rollers.
I'm the king of this here flow, you dig? I ain't about to let some ghetto crew from the hood destroy the house that Sweetness built.
Dude, these are size 15s. The ladies around here like a man who wears a big skate. These dudes don't even respect us.
Today, you will be competing for this.
Where we from, y'all?
Southside!
Not coming back!
This is for you, Ma.
Just one look at you, and I know it's gonna be a lovely day.
He's kind of the best of the bunch, and he's very into it because his mother, before she passed away, gave him a pair of skates. And it's kind of his one link he still has to his mom.
And she was, like, all sweet and encouraging. She also had given him, like, a shoehorn type thing that he wore around his neck.
I think it was supposed to be a skate ring.
Yeah.
Like a tool for your skates.
Yeah, exactly. And it was like, Mom, you're like my little superstar or something.
Mom's number one skater. Yeah.
So like she encouraged his passion. It was very sweet.
Yeah. And his dad's played by one of my favorite actors, Chi McBride.
His voice.
That guy is fantastic. He's been in so many movies. He was Gone in 60 Seconds. He used to be on Pushing Daisies. I don't know if you remember that show.
I've heard of that show. People tell me to watch that show. The concept seems too sad.
He was on This Is Us, and we made fun of that last week. But, yeah, just a big character actor. Did a lot of stuff in the early 2000s. Always been a big fan of his, and he plays the dad so well. I mean, the dad's Curtis Smith. Then you have... just a ton of, I mean, the cast is huge. Like, it's...
Every time I thought they were done introducing characters, there was another character that I recognized.
Yeah. I mean, it has Brandon T. Jackson, who, you might remember him, he was in the Percy Jackson movies.
Yes, as soon as you said Percy Jackson, I was like, oh my god, that's Grover.
Yeah, Nick Cannon as Bernard.
Recognized him immediately.
Basically looks like Jimi Hendrix, and he runs the roller skating rental
like
place.
Nick Cannon in a Jimi Hendrix wig is what he looks like.
Oh yeah, this was Nick Cannon when he was just kind of just becoming a thing. He wasn't really like...
He was still a horn dog, we'll give him that.
Oh yeah, he's all over that chick through this movie. You have Megan Good, who, oh my god, Megan Good.
Which one was she?
She was Naomi, the girl, the one who becomes X's love interest.
Yes, oh, she was very pretty.
She's gorgeous, I love that girl. You have Marcus T. Paulk, who was kind of a street dancer who got into acting. He played Boo. He was he didn't have that many lines.
Which one was Boo?
I'll show you a picture. This guy. He didn't.
Oh, yeah. They made fun of him for having big lips.
Yes.
Which I thought was mean.
Rick Gonzalez playing Naps.
It was Hector. It was Zero from Holes was one of the kids.
Oh, Zero from Holes was Mixed Mike.
Mixed Mike.
Because his mom was white, but
they
she had the body
so
of a black
mean to
woman.
Them. The mixed kids in the middle of the movie, he just stood up and was mean to the mixed kids for like no reason.
They all were. I mean, even the dad says to me, I think he calls
Who
him.
Who left a white boy here?
And not, another one calls him like a half breed. I'm like, wow. But I mean, to be fair, it's taking place at a time and a place.
Oh yeah, for sure.
And kids are assholes at that age.
No, I'm not. It's just sad. You
especially,
know, it's sad to see.
Especially
you know,
Junior. Junior was rough on everybody. Yes. Male, female, he didn't give a shit.
And like, I understand that's how they talk to each other, but like, you know, you see in their faces deep down that's doing some damage. And you've also heard enough now.
Yeah.
To know that, like, it has repercussions. So watching it happen is still a little sad.
Oh, yeah. It's jarring. It does get jarring.
And he does it to the other kid, too. Whatever. He's like, oh, you're Puerto Rican.
Rick Gonzalez. He was in the show called Reaper that I used to watch. You ever see it? It was about this kid who finds out he's the son of the devil.
No, but that sounds fun.
And he has to collect souls for him that got away from hell.
That sounds very fun.
And he kind of plays like the goofy sidekick. He's a really funny actor. He was on Arrow also. He played a Wild Dog, which was weird because he always plays a dork. And in Arrow, he plays like this guy who's like a vigilante. And it's such but he always has that crazy hair. That like big head of hair. That's why they just call him Naps. Then you have Journey Smollett.
Yeah, wait, hold on. Hold on.
She was one of my favorite characters in this movie.
Yes. And also, that's me. Like, that's not me, but she's just like the little dork with definite ADHD because the girl never stops talking.
Oh,
and
yeah.
It's so clumsy.
Yeah.
She can't stay up on the rollerblades, but she just wants to hang out with the guys.
Hey, rollerblades were not invented yet.
roller skates, excuse me. You're right.
Yeah, no, she just moves. Her name's Tori. She just moves across the next door, I think, or across the street.
It's like a kind of weird shaped street.
Yeah, it's a cul-de-sac.
Yeah.
And they kind of, X and her kind of become like fast friends.
Yeah. And he sees her trying to skate. He's like, oh, that's funny.
Yeah. And she just falls on her ass because her dad just got her new skates because the parents got divorced. And
she's
he
like,
lives
my
in
dad it. Married a white lady in Atlanta, but I'm not complaining because she's rich.
Yeah. And the movie takes place in Chicago. And I mean, you have other actors in here just popping up. Kalita Smith, who was Wanda on the Bernie Mac show.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Mike Epps, famous comedian. Rest in peace, Charlie Murphy, in this
Which one's
movie.
Charlie Murphy?
Charlie Murphy was the kind of bigger of the two garbage men.
Oh my God, those guys were so funny. They reminded me of the animal control guys in Parks and Rec.
Kind of. Charlie Murphy is Eddie Murphy's brother. He used to write for Chappelle.
Vibes. He reminded me of Eddie Murphy.
Like all of those old, those sketches, like when Eddie Murphy played basketball against Prince, on, he would play his brother.
Well, I've never seen those, but sounds cool.
You never watched the Chappelle Show?
No.
Oh, Chappelle Show was great. Chappelle Show, he made a big splash on that show. Before that, he was kind of just a stand-up and a writer.
Hmm.
And then he blew up on that show telling stories of hanging out with his brother in the 80s. And there's a story about Rick James that's insane. And there's a story about Prince playing basketball. And just look them up, you'll love them. They're absolutely hysterical. Wayne Brady's in this. Daryl from DMC, from Run DMC. He was the first DJ from the old Sweetwater Roller Rink.
Yeah.
So we'll get into the story now. The Sweetwater Roller Rink is on the poor side of town, and it's where these kids like literally spend their summers. That's their home. And DMC is the DJ, and he's like, this is our last skate, closing up. Next shot is they just close the doors.
Yep.
So these guys are like, why don't we just go to the nice place?
Like, nothing stays open in the hood. It's going to be a chicken shop or
a gun store.
Or a combination chicken shop and gun store.
That was a good line. That was a cool line. So these kids decide they're going to go to I forget what it was called. Was it Sweetwater?
Was the new one, and was the old one something else
garden,
outside. The Garden Plaza.
Garden Plaza, yeah, because they were the Garden Boys.
Yeah.
That was such a bad name.
I thought they were going to be the South Side Boys.
The Garden Boys. So they decide they're going to go check it out, and they just look like complete assholes. And it's not their fault. They're just out of their element.
Yeah, the music, they're playing the Bee Gees. And, like, the only person who knows it is Tori. And she's already being made fun of for being a dorky, like, metalhead.
Yeah, she's hysterical.
Oh, she's great.
And I love it because, what's his name? Naps goes up to Nick Cannon, he's making out with this chick. Like, I mean, has one leg up on the counter and is just, like, shaking.
And they're just, like, ringing the bell. Excuse me.
Excuse me.
Hello.
Excuse me. Excuse me. And he's like, what can I get you, young blood? And he goes, size 9 skates. He gives him size 12s. And then later he gives him a size 15 because he's like, ladies like big skates. He's like,
listen. And then the dude devolves into this just, what makes men want to do that?
What, the tongue thing?
The tongue thing.
Yeah, he hangs his tongue out and just goes, ah.
I've seen so many men from so many different walks of life make this face. Is it an animal instinct? Do you pick it up from each other? What is it?
I don't know. I don't make that face. It's kind of stupid.
It's weird to me.
It was a little embarrassing.
Like, it seems like it's supposed to be attractive, but it's just not.
But at least he wasn't doing it to the girls. That's was doing it to Nick Cannon because
true.
The girls were checking out the fact that he was getting size 15s. So they go out on the roller rink, and they're just kind of like trying to get the rhythm of the music because they're not used to any of this stuff. And hold on one second.
Figgy, what are you doing?
You little monkey. Stop.
You're just biting the leg.
She's such a weirdo.
I mean, I guess she's not hurting anything.
She's biting the leg of a tripod.
And rubbing up against it. It's her new friend.
She's so silly. You have a cat tree.
I love when cats sniff things that are new, and then they're like, ah, yes, I understand.
She's now biting the metal.
Girlfriend, do you have beef with this stand leg? She does. She has major beef. She's just going at it.
Get out of there.
Why are you licking your lips? Like, is there something on it?
I'm wondering. So stupid.
It's almost intimate.
So the boys go out on the floor and they're trying to do their moves and stuff. They like kind of do this train move where they all grab each other's hips. And
but the one guy wobbles and they fall.
Well, yeah, because Naps.
He's wearing the wrong size.
It was either that or wear his sister's roller skates.
Which have daisies on
them. Yeah, and he looked like a complete jackass. I love the fact that his sister has the same size feet as him.
Yeah.
That's weird.
Well, they're her old skates. I don't know if that's better or worse.
I don't know. But then the weirdest group of gentlemen show up.
Oh, I have so much to say about these guys.
These guys look like Saturday Night Fever threw up all over.
I was waiting for the gays to show up because I know that roller disco was very much a black thing and a gay thing.
Well, there is that one character. I think it's Mervin, the guy who keeps trying to do the triple lutz.
Yes.
And he can never land it. I actually thought he was one of the most interesting characters.
Yeah.
Just because he's just sitting there all day doing this move. And he has like a bunch of other figure skater women who are in his group that they all like compete with.
He's just trying his best. He is not in here for the drama. He is in here to do it correctly, which is why he will go on to continue doing whatever the hell he's doing.
Exactly. I don't even, like, what, how would you explain these gentlemen that show up and start picking a fight?
There's the prince, like, just sexy and I know it, shirt open, disco suit, fro guy, Sweetness.
Well, Sweetness comes in later. This is his entourage.
His entourage, just two very evidently queer men, no matter how much they are trying to hit on the women in the room.
And there's a third one who never talks.
He never says a word, so much so that I can't really remember his face. I just know he was there as part of the posse.
And they would always do this, like, they'd snap their fingers and then skate off in unison.
They were in West Side Story, and every time they did, they're like, man, what the hell is that?
And I love that it's like fourth wall, but it's like, the hell did I just see?
There is this little, like, he seemed like he might have been Filipino to me, or like Japanese. I'm not gonna
Daniel Yabout, he played Roy.
Yeah, so he was there, and they were just very clearly just, you know, you're Asian, we're gonna make kung fu jokes, so I don't know. His actual nationality was, but he reminded me so much of Ben from Umbrella Academy. It was ridiculous.
Yeah, I could see
he
that.
He was just a snarky, skinny little guy who was like, seemed like he should have been a twink, but was acting heterosexual. And then there was this perfectly coiffed, tall white boy.
Oh my God, that Paul Wesley playing Troy. He's from the Vampire. He's from Vampire Diaries.
Was Troy?
Yeah, he also on Strange New Worlds. He's Captain Kirk.
I don't know either
it's,
of those.
It's the new Star Trek show that just came out. So he's been, I mean, he's a television actor. I remember the Vampire Diaries. I never saw a lick of it.
It seems like a lot of people in my circle, like, especially online, like, liked the Vampire Diaries.
People
but
love that
I
show.
Was a little young for them.
Yeah.
I don't think I was allowed to watch.
It's just a vampire soap opera.
Yeah,
it's
but stupid. There's like sexual themes, right?
Oh yeah, they're all.
I think it came out when I was a preteen, and it was too sexual for my mom to like let me get into. Because like I think that. Literally, she knew I was into vampires. She's like, okay, I know you're into vampires. Don't watch these. I was like, all right. Another one was True Blood.
Here,
was
go
like,
read Banuncula.
She was like, don't get into True Blood. And I was like, okay.
Oh, yeah. True Blood, you were seeing. That was just the nudiest show.
I want to watch True Blood now.
Oh, sucker. You see a lot of Anna Paquin in that. It ain't too shabby. She met her husband on that show, I believe.
Oh, that's cute. I love stories like that.
That's
why I love the movie Overboard. You watch Goldie Hawn and Kurt Russell, and you're like, they're falling in love in real life.
I never even thought about it. That was their first.
That was how they met.
Oh, shit. I don't know why. I thought they met earlier than that.
They might have met earlier than that, but like the film is where they fell in love. If they met earlier than that, it was like a brief.
Okay. All right. So basically, they're getting messed with by these just really weird disco roller skate guys.
Yeah, who skate in unison.
And their leader of their group is Sweetness, yep, as everybody calls him. This character's hilarious. He reminded me so much of, if you've ever seen The Last Dragon, Shownuff, the head. He was Shownuff, the Shogun of Harlem.
Okay.
And he just dressed in like a karate gi and had a big ponytail and was jacked like this dude. Sweetness looked like he was cut out of marble.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that guy had no hydration in his body.
I was just about to say the same thing. Like, it's like he was vacuum sealed.
Oh, man.
And somebody went into his body and took all the air out between his skin and his muscles.
And Sweetness is played by Wesley Jordan. He used to be on a show called What I Like About You.
He looked really familiar.
Nothing I've really seen. I mean, he's been in a few things here and there, but I've only seen him in that one sitcom, and it was with Amanda Bynes.
Oh.
And Jenny Garth from 90210.
I always forget Amanda Bynes was ever in a sitcom.
Oh, yeah. It was fine. It was a throwaway CW sitcom. You know, I think it might have been WB at that point.
It was what it was.
So the guys are like, they find out there's a $500 prize at the end of, in August. You can basically go into a skate off, you get a team together, and Sweetness's team has never been defeated in like, what, 9 years or something.
What
stupid.
Was $500 in 1978?
Probably a decent. That's right.
Like, that's a lot. Well, I'm going to, wait, let me do the little Google. I love using this tool.
I'm going to say, that's probably a decent amount of scratch back then. And you're splitting it, but basically each kid's getting $100.
For inflation.
$100 will get you through the summer back then, probably.
$2,294.25 today. So roughly $2,300.
Damn. Those kids are doing all right.
That's insane.
That's pretty good.
That's a lot of money.
Oh, my God. Those kids are all getting new skates. While they're at the roller rink, Megan Good shows up. And she gets the, like, holy crap moment. Because they're playing Love to Love You, Baby.
And it was funny because up until this point, I thought they were trying to set up Tori as the love interest.
You think that. But you have to remember where her mom and Chi McBride go later in the movie. Yeah. They start kind of seeing each other.
Which
so
is why it
they're more
be
brother.
Like that.
They made them more brother sister, which I kind of thought that was nicer.
Yeah. No, I liked that she wasn't the immediate love interest. The obvious.
Yeah.
And they get the up. I'm not gonna.
We'll
the
get
end.
To it. But so Megan Good gets this like the slow motion. Her putting her skates on all sexy, and I don't know if she's underage at the time. I'm not going to make assertions. She's still hot as hell now. So.
They colored it in a way that's like, this is what they were seeing. And so you understand that the boys watching are like, this is the finest woman I've ever seen.
Oh, yeah. And she's drinking a completely empty Pepsi. She doesn't even have it to her lip.
And it's like literally like it's such slow motion. I was like, I wonder if Pepsi was sponsoring this film.
Probably. And they're all just, holy shit, you know, awestruck. And she comes right over. X does not recognize her. And she
they kept calling her, what are they, like the Uggo or the Butterface that you took to the movies?
The movies. And I guess she moved to a nice neighborhood.
I guess.
Because there's a scene where he goes to her house and she goes, what are you doing down here? Mm. And I'm just kind of, and her house was huge. It was like a crazy duplex.
Oh, yeah. Her front door was really nice.
Yeah. So she rolls roller skates over to X and gives him like a huge hug. And they're all just like, what is going on? She goes, X, how you doing? He goes, Naomi. And everyone's just like, dude, like, wait, what? Oh, that's why I learned this early in life. Don't make fun of girls when you're young.
You dumbasses.
Because I was like fifth grade.
I mean, look, they all do it.
And they all, like, every girl I ever, like, even joked with turned out to be a 10.
The ugly ducklings are just going through something, guys. One day you're gonna turn around and be like, what the hell happened?
And I wasn't even being a dick. I would just like make, like, you know, you just joke with somebody, you just kind of,
yeah, but then you have to eat your words.
Yeah,
later.
Yeah, later on. But holy shit, I had a few of those. So they decide they're gonna take on Sweetness and his crew, but first they're gonna go out on the floor and just see how everybody works. And Sweetness and his crew go out to, I think it's Barracuda.
Something.
This soundtrack is amazing.
It's fun.
I mean, Ohio Players is in this. Hollywood Swingin'. I love that song. I mean, this whole movie.
Hollywood Swingin' is fun.
I love this soundtrack. The soundtrack, it's half the stuff on my Spotify list.
Every time they put a new song on, I was like, oh, vibes.
Yeah. And it all fit so perfectly into what they were doing in the film, like dance-wise or even the scene, you know? Like when he's delivering his papers to Lovely Day by Bill Withers.
Yeah.
And he's just,
either hits someone or misses.
And he's just
time.
Grooving on. He's got these big cans on with the antennas.
What were the antennas for?
Because reception. That's how you got reception back then.
He was listening to the radio.
Yeah. They're basically, right, they're just headphones that have radio in it.
They're what was an MP3 player. Right.
Yeah. You were stuck listening to the
radio.
They
didn't even have Walkman in the 70s, did they?
I don't think, because you had 8-track.
Oh, wow.
And I don't think there was portable 8-track that much, so.
Wild.
So he's just skating along. He's just got his little headphones on. And then he gets nailed with the water balloons. But as
he's laying wait every day, like, bro, what do you have nothing better to do?
No, they don't. They're kids who have nothing to do during the summer.
They make it very clear at the very beginning that it's one of those, like, leave the house in the morning, be home by the time the street light's on. That's all I care about.
Such a great touch. I remember, like, because I remember that. It was like, no, be
My
home.
My mom talks about that.
Yeah, that's how you knew when to be home. And when it got dark, like the street lights would automatically go on. Yeah. And kids would just be, we would be all over the neighborhood. I mean, you didn't see your parents. Bless you. You didn't see your parents all day. You went out and it was, hopefully you didn't get kidnapped. Mm-hmm. It's really bad.
But
no.
When the streetlights do come on at the very beginning, the ex is like, shit.
And the worst part is he keeps breaking his skate wheel.
Ugh.
Hit twice, and he won't give up those damn skates because his mom gave them to him. And that was why he was late, was because his skate wheel broke. Mm-hmm. But before that, they were at the roller rink, and Sweetness and his crew just tear up the floor. They're fantastic. And these guys...
I think this is before that. Wait,
this is when they first get there, and they're like, no, we got to see if we can keep up with Sweetness them. That's why they challenged them to the competition.
I thought that they went to the competition the next day after he got home late because the roller rink closed the first day.
No. No, I'm pretty sure.
They go over the same day?
I think when they first see Sweetness and learn about the competition is the same day that they first go there. I'm almost positive.
No, but I mean, it's the same day they first go there. It's not the same day that the other roller rink closes.
No. It's okay. like next day or 2 days later.
Like, the day he's late to go home is the day the roller rink closes, I think.
Oh, you're right. Because he was like, I had to be there. And he's like, no, son, you had to be here to clean the gutters because you forgot because I need your help.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right.
Because your mom's dead, which they heavily implied.
Oh, my God. It's like every scene. I'm sorry about your mother. I'm sorry about your mother.
They still do it in a very realistic way, though. Like, it's the way that everybody would be weirdly talking about it.
I guess, yeah. Because he meets a lot of new people and he sees a lot of people from his past. Mm-hmm. So I guess you're right. But it is driven the hell
home. You almost
get
a sense that a lot of them haven't seen him. Because it's like, maybe they don't go to school with him or something.
Possibly. I mean, they all grew up and went to different high schools or something. I love the next day with the garbage men.
Oh, my God.
Because X keeps forgetting to take out the trash. Mm-hmm. And his dad keeps yelling at him. He runs outside and they're like, we're not backtracking. We are not driving backwards to go to your house to get the... No, we're not doing that. And he's out there in his boxer shorts. And what's her name? Who's his friend? Tori's mother.
Tori's mother comes out, and this is the first time I've seen her.
Tori's mother comes out in...
a crocheted top with ribbon holding it together.
Like, it was like a denim short shorts. Mm-hmm. And she's standing there. The sprinklers are going off.
And she looks like a little surprised.
Oh, my God. It was hilarious. And they're all losing it.
Mm-hmm.
And the garbage men are like... we gotta go. We gotta get back on our route. Oh, man. And they're running off, and they just go to him. Yo, X, you got a little fruit hanging out of the loom. And his dad comes out with the daughter, and his little daughter's adorable. Oh. She's like 5. And they're holding hands. He's like, Daddy, can we go to McDonald's? He's like, we're not going to McDonald's. I gotta go to work. And he's like, X, why did you take out the... And he's just staring at X's
just
vaguely boner.
Downward.
He's like, what? We gotta take out the garbage. Go put some clothes on.
And he's like, don't you think you should comb her hair? I did comb her hair. She has one pigtail and one just wild, wild side of her hair.
It reminds me of that Pixar short, Good Hair.
Yeah, where the dad learns how to do his baby's hair. That's so cute.
But it's adorable because that goes somewhere later in the movie.
Is it Good Hair, Hair Magic or something?
I thought it was Good Hair.
I don't... You
I don't know.
Are as likely to be right as I.
I'm not sure. It won an Academy Award, I believe. I really should look it up. But
Hair Love. It was called Hair Love.
Good Hair was, I believe, a Chris Rock movie.
Oh yeah, I was like, Becky
it was a documentary about black women's hair. That's what Good Hair was. And then there's Bad Hair, where a weave comes to life and tries to kill people.
Jesus.
Yeah, that one was Stupid City. It's a Hulu movie. Oh, God, it was really bad.
Seaweave.
I saw like 2 minutes of it, and I was like, okay, I'm good. I mean, the movie doesn't have a ton of beats. It's a lot of just
things that
what's
happen.
Going on this day. You know, like the guys are just sitting around playing Atari, drinking Yoo-Hoo, and the dad comes home and busts his ass on the skateboard and like throws all the kids out.
Because he's had a hard day because none of the firms with like white people are going to accept a black engineer.
And he hasn't told his son.
He's out of work.
Yeah, Chi McBride hasn't told his son that he lost his job, sold his Mustang that like he loved.
Continued to work on their mom's very much dead car.
Because he didn't have a car. And I love the guy who bought that the Mustang, I believe was Sweet Chuck from the Police Academy movies. And you'd have no clue who that is, but
no,
goddamn
it. Heard of it.
He was the little nerdy one. He used to hang out with Bobcat Goldthwait.
Okay, I don't know it that well.
Oh, those movies are so stupid.
I've just seen pictures and screenshots and such.
Where were we in this movie? It's hard because
it runs together because it's literally it's a diary of this kid's summer.
Yeah, and it's a lot of let's mess with Tori.
Which oh, that's
is
sweet.
That one, what's his name, Junior, is constantly having like word battles with her.
Yeah, and you wonder why he has so much fun doing that.
Because she has these crazy braces on. She's kind of goofy.
Calls her Metal Mouth. Amtrak called. They're looking for some of their tracks back.
And she goes, well, at least I'm getting my teeth fixed. Unlike you. Stop chewing on those yellow crayons. Yuck mouth. I still use yuck mouth. I've called people yuck mouth before.
I loved her. And I loved how like she came back after like she was in a whole summer and she came back and her dad had taken her to Europe and stuff. And she was all worldly and got
it was Atlanta.
Atlanta.
He took her over Atlanta.
He took her over Atlanta. And then he's like, we're going to go to New York, San Diego, Florida. And then he's taking me to Europe or something like that. He had taken her everywhere. He clearly married a very rich white woman.
Seriously.
But she came back and she was all worldly and dressed in the new fashions and her braces were off and she was hot. And everyone was like, damn.
Yeah, she was. This was like the coming out party for Journey Soleil. Because I remember her, like, she was just like a little kid actor. And she was always kind of, she was that character. She was Tori. And at the end of this, she comes out looking gorgeous.
It's like Hermione Granger's moment in that fourth movie.
Oh, yeah. And you look at her now in, like, Lovecraft Country, the Harley Quinn movie. She's stunning. She's absolutely, on
I
Lovecraft Country.
All the way through.
My God, she's beautiful. She's she is an absolute 10 on that show. I remember just seeing her and it was just like watching this kid grow up in one movie. And it just kind of gave her a whole different career. You same for Megan Good. I mean, Megan Good did pretty well after this. She's in both Shazam movies now.
Wow.
Making that money. So let's talk about the director for a sec.
Yeah, wait, because I said to you, as soon as I walked in, it really reminded me of Everybody Hates Chris. A lot of the shots, especially like after he passes out, everybody like leaning over him, almost like it's like an camera on camera interview.
Yeah. Now, I thought he directed an episode of it. His name is Malcolm D. Lee. The last thing that you'll remember him directing was the new Space Jam.
Which I didn't see that.
Was atrocious.
So I've heard.
It's one of the worst films I've ever seen in my life.
Wow.
I'm not even. It was so hard to sit and watch because it's just nonsense. It is goddamn awful. But he also made Girls Trip, which is a really good.
That was
good,
really good. LJ loved that movie.
And he did the Best Man movies, which LJ used to talk about all the time.
Yeah.
And the man knows how to write or at least direct black camaraderie.
It was, yeah. It
but
felt
for
really
a
natural.
Broad audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, I don't know how to get into it. Like, the language in this movie.
There are language barriers.
You hear
sometimes.
The N-word once.
Yes.
Charlie Murphy says it one time, and that's it. The rest of the time, it's just them making fun of each other, but it's never like super cruel.
And there are never any of those, like, they definitely use jargon and like speech that I don't know if jargon's the right term. They use speech that I would like I'm not used to using and I wouldn't necessarily use, but that I recognized and like had heard enough in context that it didn't sound like they were saying like nothing.
Yeah.
You know, like I knew what enough of the words meant. Whereas sometimes you watch
one of those movies
and you don't know what they're saying. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Like you just don't know the slang.
You were not the intended audience and that is clear to you.
Yeah.
This was kind of more,
it was for everybody. Yeah, yeah. But it still kept, I like the fact that not even like the white characters weren't like being racist. You know, there was never really...
Yeah, I kind of expected that to be a factor, and it never was.
They never made that a thing in this movie, and I kind of appreciated it because there was so much going on with the rest of the story in terms of X getting over his mother, the dad trying to explain why he doesn't have a job.
And, like, also trying to get out of there again. I thought it was a really nice touch when they showed him going to that party, and there were actual scenes of, like, him alone. Mm. You saw him with the garbage men. You realize, like, oh, they're, like, neighborhood friends. Yeah. They weren't just, like, Josh and him.
Yeah, they'd probably seen this kid growing up his whole life.
Yeah, they were like, yo, man, you holding up that wall? And he's like, yes, I'm holding up the wall. Please leave me alone.
And he also, this guy also directed a really funny comedy, Undercover Brother. With, what is his name? Eddie Griffin was in it. Denise Richards was in it. Chris Kattan was in it. Remember Chris Kattan?
No.
Oh, you don't remember Chris Kattan?
I don't know who that is.
He used to play on SNL. He played Mr. Peepers that, like, okay.
Sorry.
Gene McBride was in this movie, too. He played the chief.
My earliest memories of SNL involve... probably cast that only recently left.
God, you're young. So, all summer, X and his friends are just trying to get this routine down. They can't quite... Something always happens to one of them that they can't get it done, whether it's the wrong size roller skates, roller skate breaks, lace breaks. I mean, like, there's always a reason for something to go wrong, but these kids are actually good.
They are.
And you don't really see it until the final act when they're actually doing their bit.
Yes.
And they come out to,
well, they were going to come out
to La Freak.
To a different, to yeah, and then the sweetness took their song.
Yeah, so they end up doing Hollywood Swingin', which
was so cool.
Better song.
Yeah.
Much better song.
Like, La Freak was obvious.
Yeah, but the Hollywood Swingin' had so much more swagger to it.
Yeah, they were Hollywood Swingin' on that floor.
So we're bouncing around. I want to get back to one important part.
Oh, which, yeah, I think I know where you're going.
The party scene.
I didn't know where you were going.
Well,
okay.
It leads into the other thing I think you're thinking of.
Yeah.
With the car.
Yeah.
So Gene McBride's at this party, and X sees him getting ready. He's throwing on a lot of cologne.
He's like, are there going to be girls at the party, Dad?
Oh, he's drenched in aftershave to the point where he starts choking.
I don't, what is that? What is, why does
like
that
happen?
It's like
aqua velva or something. I don't know. What, aftershave?
Yeah, like, why does that happen? I've seen that as a meme all the time.
I never used aftershave. I tried it once when I was a little kid, and it was that scene in Home Alone. I was just like,
what's the point? What is it supposed to do?
It's, I think it's supposed to.
Is it antiseptic?
I think it's a little bit of that, and it's supposed to smell good.
Okay.
It's kind of it. I mean, it was cheap shit.
Weird.
And he's going to a party. X comes in. He's like, yo, Dad, you look good and smell wonderful. And, you know, the daughter comes in and she's like, hi, Daddy, you smell good. I love that. Little kid was adorable.
He's like, oh, my God. When he has to give her, she comes in the room. Soya. She's like, what was Mom like? And he tells her and he's like, yeah, and Dad lights up when he looks at you because you look like her. And I'm like, oh, God.
Oh, little Soya was so cute. So X is like, Dad, are there going to be girls at this party? And he's like, listen, son. I got backed into the corner at the grocery store, and our neighbor, what I forget what her name was,
yeah,
is making me go.
And he's like, no, it's cool. I just, you know.
He's just like, take your time. He's like, your time. And he's not cool with it at all, but.
He's trying to be.
He feels bad for his dad. I mean, they write those two so fucking well.
It's a really good layered relationship because you can tell there's tension between them, but you can also clearly tell that they love each other, and the dad's trying his best and the kid is trying his best, and it's so obvious that all of their problem is because, like, of stress and, like, bad communication.
Oh, of course.
They needed somebody with more emotional intelligence there, and the mom's
they need
gone.
The bridge, and the mom was that bridge, you know. And the dad's like, listen, son, I had to, like, he comes home, finds out about the car, mm-hmm. and the neighbor is doing the daughter's hair because they had a huge fight because Chi McBride drove Tori to the roller rink without telling the
and
mom.
She's like, oh, well, maybe I should inform the authorities that you're in the business of kidnapping kids. And the dad's like, this is 1978. They were going to take the bus.
He goes, I thought, why wouldn't it be safer if I drove them? So, yeah, I'm a terrible dad. Mm-hmm. And he's like, get out of my garage. And she's just like, screw you.
You can go wait for them to come home in your own garage, or you can ruin your daughter's life.
Give your daughter a complex, I think you said. So they're at the party, and Chi McBride's just leaning up against the wall.
She's talking to the ladies.
He doesn't drink, so he's just getting the the woman who's having the party, she's kind of like,
and she's like, she's showing off. That? Like, what's his story? Like, she's finally asking.
Yeah, and they all think he's hot, and she's just like, oh, you didn't. His wife was the most amazing woman, and she's like, what happened to her? And
oh, she had a heart attack condition
2 weeks before Christmas.
That's so sad.
Like a year ago.
It's worse when you hear that it was random.
Yeah. Yeah. It wasn't like cancer or anything. It
like,
was
you think like, okay, the mom had a disease, like you're in it. The kid has had time to mourn.
Yeah.
It's when it's shocking, you know, you're dealing with much, much less surface level emotion.
Yeah. It's a really great way to bring, because her whole demeanor changes.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
she's like, oh, he was acting like this because he's got a lot on his plate.
Yeah.
I was a bitch.
Okay. And Vivian shows up, and the daughter's sitting in the garage, and the dad's trying to get the damn car going, and it's flooding and flooding.
She's like, you're flooding your carburetor.
And she goes, I'm flooding your carburetor, flooded. And he turns around and she goes, peace offering, and she went to the ice cream truck and got them all ice cream.
She comes up and silently, wordlessly gives the little girl a popsicle. And she's
the
like,
double popsicles. Yeah. Oh, those are the best.
She's like, all right.
And the daughter's like, yeah, go get my dad. And she's like,
I got chocolate eclair for you.
And I got strawberry shortcake for me.
I bought those the other day. Oh, really? They were for sale on GoPuff, and I bought a box of them.
Before or after you watch this?
After. Oh, before, I mean.
That's
no,
weird.
Before. I bought them just because I was I saw them for sale, and they used to sell them in my elementary school cafeteria.
Good humor.
Yeah, everywhere. They were so good. In the summer when it got really hot, because like my elementary school didn't have like good air conditioning or really any air conditioning, they would just put them out for us to eat.
That's awesome.
Like, for free.
We didn't have air conditioning. They didn't give a damn about us. They got the window open. Really, that was fun.
Our lunch ladies were very sweet.
That's hilarious. So they kind of make up, become friends, and she's like, do you do this little girl's hair? And he goes, yeah. And
you she like
goes,
the way I do my hair. You do your hair, don't you, baby girl? And she's like, no.
So the next scene is them on the porch. She's fixing the daughter's hair, and they're having this great moment. And then X comes home, and he's just like, I don't want to talk right now. And he's like, yeah, teenagers today. Life is so hard. And he goes, like, oh, yeah, life's hard. He goes, how come you didn't tell me you don't have a job?
He says, no, life's
how come you
hard
didn't
work.
Tell me you
and he's like, I don't think you should be talking about work. And the mom of the girl across the street's like, this is not my
We're
business.
Going
I'm
for
gonna
a
take
walk.
The little girl for a walk. They're going to have a man fight.
And they have a drag out. I mean, they're saying things that they shouldn't. And the dad's like, son, don't do it. Don't do it.
And like, okay, I was watching this fight, and in the back of my mind, the little communication robot was like, nope, that's not how you say that.
Oh,
that's
man.
Not how you should express that emotion. You're escalating, especially the dad. And it's like, you can see it happening, and you know what's going to happen, because you know that kid is hitting every button, because that's the danger.
And he's trying, you can see the dad's trying not to cry.
Uh-huh. And trying not to crack. And that's the, like, you have this kid, and you know as a parent, one day this kid is probably going to snap.
Yep.
Hormones, stress, it just happens. And you have to be prepared for that day. But you also have to, when you're being prepared for that day, you have to remember that this kid knows you almost as well as you know them. And they probably know more about which buttons to press on you than you think. You have to be ready for them to press the buttons. You have to know, like, this is my child, and they don't mean anything by this, but it's a tantrum. It is a near adult tantrum, and I can't take this personally.
Yeah. And X.
And the dad cannot help but take it personally, because he is in an emotionally fragile place as well.
Yeah, and he tells him, go to your room. And he's like, I'm not going to my room.
He's like, no.
And he goes,
I'm going away.
No, he goes to the garage, grabs a bat, and starts beating his mother's old car.
And you know what, to the dad's credit, he is very calm.
The fact that he didn't just take a wrench and beat that kid bloody, I'm amazed.
He kind of just lets him hit the car.
Yeah, and then
it's pretty good parenting.
The kid just like drops the bat. He's just like,
why
she's
God
not coming
take
back.
Take my mom away from me.
And
because the reason he's smashing the car, he's like, you spent all this time working on mom's old car, and you sold your car. What? Yeah. So you could keep working on this piece of junk? Let her go.
Yeah. Meanwhile, he can't let her go.
Yeah. And I'm like, I don't think that's what's happening here.
And he's just,
I'm pretty sure he's trying to make the car work because the Mustang was worth money.
And this is the first time he's really talking about his mother's death.
Mm-hmm.
And
every other time, because this has been a big thing with Naomi. Yeah. She'll try to bring it up, and he gets all emotional, and I can see it's happening in his little teenager brain. He's like,
yeah.
I'm like, oh, you're just running away from your emotions because she's trying to be nice and open you up, and you can't connect with her until you open up,
yeah.
And you've just run up against this problem, and you're like, ah, I don't know what to do. I'm going to run away.
But before he runs away, the dad hugs him.
He tries. Oh,
he gives him. And T. McBride is like five times the size of this kid, and he just bear hugs him. He's like, "I'm sorry, son. I'm sorry."
That's where I started crying because, like, oh my god, the fight's resolving without like someone walking away first.
It didn't resolve because X takes off
because it was too little, too late.
Yeah.
But the dad was trying, and that's when I started, and I did not stop crying until like after, because they just kind of segue through, and the next morning things are very tense, and I think I'm recovering, and I'm like sniffling, and then there's another scene.
Yeah, and then he's like, there was a package for you, Dad, and he brings in the package. He goes, son, my wrist hurts. Can you open that for me? And it's a brand new pair of skates.
And it's like, he's like, I know they can't replace the ones that your mom got you. And it's like, no, but you got him like the sequel because you're supporting his interest. And like, oh, because this ties back to something he said when he was talking to him at the bathroom door. Because the son starts talking. He's like, what's going on for you? And the son's like, oh, he's really excited that his dad's asking about his life. And he's like, oh, like there's these guys at the roller rink. They're supposed to be really good, but they dissed us and we're going to try to beat him. And his dad just looks at him like he's disappointed. And he's like, you know, son, you could be doing a lot more productive things. And like you can just see the heartbreak in the kid's eyes because he thought for once the dad was taking a genuine interest in like the thing he was passionate about.
And he didn't know he was probably gonna make like $300.
And instead the dad's just like, you're not being, you know, this isn't how a man behaves. And he's like going back to the very like duty bound kind of just thing that seems to happen to a lot of dad characters when their wives died, just like, yes, duty bound, and so should my son be. Why would you feel things?
Yeah.
And so the kid's just heartbroken, but the dad gets him the rollerblades and he's expressing the interest.
And
in
he shows
hobby.
up to the competition. He's like, Dad, what are you doing here? He goes, came here to see you kick their ass.
Parents, when they say support your kids, that's all they mean. Your child deep down is still just like that toddler that wants to like you to look and be like, daddy, watch me do this. It's still the same kid. Yeah. They just got older and better at doing things.
Yeah. And so, I think we can kind of, he makes up with Naomi.
Yeah.
And which is weird. And I wanted to ask you.
He goes to her door.
How did you feel about him kissing her?
You know what? Okay.
Because I know we always have this, you're always like, I don't know if that's romantic or not. And I'm curious.
You're actually usually the one who brings it up.
I know. Because you usually have a decent opinion on it. I'm just curious.
Yeah, I just think, you know.
Basically, they have an argument. She's like, you treated me like shit because he keeps blowing her off.
Yeah.
And he doesn't want to go to the movies.
And he's like, listen, no, I'm fine now. And I'm like, you're not giving her an explanation.
Yeah.
And
he's like, I'm good. I was going through something.
Well, I'm not good. I don't like being treated like you can just blow me off. And like in the middle of her getting angry, he just kisses her. And you know what? Like if they were adults and he should know better, I'd be like, okay, you have to let her finish.
Yeah.
You have to let her express why she was upset with you. But in this particular instance, I'm like, I think he knows what he was doing wrong. And in that moment, I could see in his face that he was just attracted to her. And she responds like, okay, like I was actually just mad. And
she was struck by it. She was like, oh,
You have now acted on the thing I didn't expect you to act on that I wanted you to act on. And I'm going to need to process this. Like she should still say the things that she wanted to say, but I have a feeling she'll get a chance to say
it. Well, she didn't get to because you hear a mother from inside go, can you come change the channel for me? Because kids were the remote control back then.
Oh my God.
It was like, yeah, go change the channel. Okay, Dad.
I still have to do that for my parents sometimes because sometimes my mom is like, I only know how to watch cable. I'm like, do you want to like watch this thing on Netflix? She's like, yeah, but I don't know how to like, she knows how to open Netflix, but she's like, no, you have to find it. So I don't know how much she actually knows and how much she just like wants me to be there.
My mom just opens something and then if it's playing, great, I'll leave it on.
They had this awful movie Bruno playing at the hotel.
Oh, God.
I couldn't figure out how to find the remote control, so I just had to sit there while it happened to me.
Your mom.
I asked myself, how could they choose such a hotel? Now I know.
What?
It's from The Office.
I thought it was something your mom went through.
No, it's Pam's nana.
Oh my God.
Or Pam's grandma, I don't know.
It was funnier when I thought your mom was going through that.
No, my mom's not that much of a prude.
Oh, that's hilarious. Let's just jump into the competition.
Yeah, which is cool. I like how they edited this with all the like long cuts. It's across the screen.
They do like the swipes and they put like blocks of like different frames in one shot.
Double wide screen.
Very
70s. Really cool.
I mean, it was.
They show you like every routine. Also, yeah. They don't really cut them.
Yeah.
The last several minutes of the movie is just skating routines. The plot resolves, and then you're like, "Why is there so much movie left?" It's rollerblading, roller skating.
It's absolutely and the choreography's great. The music's great. The DJ's Wayne Brady is the DJ, and he's hilarious.
He's great.
He was so funny. His wife or whatever comes out. She's got like the big butt. And they're like using it as a drum roll.
Works.
That, I mean, the women in this movie do get objectified a little, but I think that was the time, was like everybody was just, women were peacocking, men were peacocking.
Yeah, they
were all just showing off for one another back then.
That's what the whole vibe of the roller rink was. It felt okay.
It felt like a singles club.
Because the men were also doing it.
Yeah.
I
mean, look at the way the roller boys dressed. They're wearing like sequin jumpsuits and their chests are all showing and bulges and things.
They're like, was that a boy or a girl? You were checking him out. I was not. Totally was. Hey, what is gender in a roller rink?
Exactly. But, I mean, I used to go to roller rinks when I was a kid all the time.
They had them when I was a kid, too. Every Friday night in middle school, it'd be, you go to Marple? There was Marple Sports Arena. I didn't roller skate so much because I was bad at it.
Yeah.
But they also had one of those, like, plastic tube gym thingies and an arcade. Kids would go gossip and make out in the tube gym things and, you know, otherwise they'd be at the arcade. And also, like, the snack stand was
there. I forget what ours was called, but we had a mascot called Skatosaurus. And on my sixth birthday, I got to skate with the Skatosaurus.
Awesome.
And then my friend, they got me a Donald Duck cake, I remember. It was really cool. I picked it out. It was just his face. And I was like, that's so cool. And they bought me a He-Man figure of Battle Cat. And I was like, this thing's awesome. And my friend just sticks it in my cake. And I was so pissed. And that was what I remember of my birthday.
I'm sorry.
But it was memorable as hell. And then I got to skate with the Skatosaurus, and he felt like a jerk because he didn't get to skate with the Skatosaurus. He was just this big guy in a green dinosaur costume.
That's all you need.
And a baseball hat, and he'd skate with you.
That's all you need.
It was awesome. And it was like just neon lights, and it looked a lot like this place.
That's what when they stepped into the newer roller rink, the older one, I was like, this is history and this is dated, and I can tell. They stepped into the newer one, I was like, well, places like this really are kind of timeless, aren't they?
And but ours was a track, and the middle was their sitting area. And then the arcades were around the side. So you basically, if you wanted to take a break, you'd go into the middle. Or you'd go off. And it was, so you were just going in a circle. And then they had a thing where you could go upstairs and you could hang out on a closed balcony and just watch everything.
Oh, that's cool.
It was a great place. I forget what, I don't know if like something happened to it. I just remember it closed abruptly. Ugh. But that was the 80s,
folks.
Reminds me
of that episode of Always Sunny at the beginning of season 15.
Oh, the roller rink.
The gang buys a roller rink.
That is a great episode. So Sweetness and his crew come out, and he's got the coat on. He takes the coat off. Lint brush.
He's just linting his pants close to his dick as
he's
possible.
He's got like these three girls as his entourage. Tootsie Roll, and I forget what the other two.
They have names?
One of them was named Tootsie because that Junior kept hitting on her.
Some of the women in this movie were props.
And the guys, remember the guy's Pants Junior? And he's wearing those like purple bikini briefs.
They were for athletic support.
OJ Simpson wears them.
Cool.
He's like, all right, but we're going to win this contest. Just next time, don't be wearing your panties on the rink. That was so fun. When he's screaming, he's just like,
He takes a long time to get his pants back up.
He did a high pitch, and I thought they were going for his underwear next, because some girl comes up behind him and tries to goose him or something.
There was a lot of inappropriate touching. There was.
Oh, they smacked that girl's ass in the beginning of the movie.
I did not like that.
I knew you were, I was like, oh, this is going to turn Mel off to this movie immediately.
Not to the whole movie, Adam. I understand historical context, but I'm still just like,
ooh. She's like, don't smack Matt. Then the next kid comes up, pat, pat. And it's just like, oh man, you guys suck.
She's only mildly annoyed. It's true. That's how you used to have to react.
Yeah, I guess. Ugh, I'm sorry. I'm sorry, ladies. I didn't do it, but I'm sorry, ladies.
Just take all your consonants off. It'll make it sound smoother.
There you go. Ugh. So the Sweetness and his crew come out to the X's crew's song, which was La Freak. So chic. Freak out. And they do... That one move he does where they go on their toes.
Yeah.
They're on like one wheel each. I mean,
skating in this movie is very impressive. How many of them had stunt doubles?
Oh, the end of the movie, if you watch, the stunt doubles are still wearing the outfits.
And they're in it.
And the actors are all wearing really nice clothes.
Ah!
And that's all those people during the kind of the blooper reel at the end,
but
like
the end credits.
The end credits, those were all the real skaters.
Nice.
I'm pretty positive because there was a guy that was dressed as X.
I was kind of making my bed while it was happening, but yeah.
Yeah, no, I love that. That whole, with that one guy who's running on his skates just in place.
Like Scooby-Doo.
It was I didn't think you could do stuff. I mean, one guy does a backflip. Another guy almost nails a triple Lutz.
I just like, dude, your core must be the balance there.
Oh, the one. I mean, X goes like he goes full backwards and then like pops back up. You need some like floor grip for that.
You know what song X needs? Hmm. X needs to wait for the song X Gonna Give It to You to come out, because him skating to that would be sick.
Oh man. He'd be old.
Yes, he would be old.
It would be
X's
son.
But have you ever
seen
like those guys, the classic actors who were tap dancers on Broadway? They get old. They can still tap. Maybe X could still skate.
That's true. Know what I thought was sweet at the end when Chi McBride's kind of having that moment with Xavier? And he goes, I love you, Xavier Curtis Smith. Curtis is Chi McBride's name in the movie.
Huh.
And I just thought it was like, what a nice way to bind those two at that moment, is like giving that little extra. And that's when they go to the roller rink. And I don't know how to explain what you're watching.
It's, yeah.
Because it's roller dancing.
Yep.
And it's absolutely insane. It's all this like crazy synchronized.
Like, you know, figure skating? It's like that, but like add some 70s cool to it.
And you can, and almost like, I don't know if you've ever seen Lords of Dogtown. How they used to skateboard, but they would kind of skitch on the ground and like use their hands to kind of like do weird maneuvers.
It's
regular skateboard.
It's the hip-hop version of ice dancing
on
a wooden floor with wheels.
It's phenomenal, and I didn't know it was a thing.
Like, I feel like I did, but my mom always used to talk about roller skating. I think she really liked it too.
Yeah.
Because this was, I guess, let me do some math here. These kids would probably be around my parents' age.
Oh, let's see.
It was 1978.
Yeah. I was born in 79.
Yeah, they were preteens. My mom was born in like...
I'll cut that out.
So yeah, you should. So yeah, my mom would have been like their age.
Yeah.
Yep. Like exactly their age.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
See?
And I'm pretty sure she used to hang out in roller rinks with her sisters and stuff.
You have to show this to your mom.
Yeah. I wonder if she's seen it.
I just with the soundtrack, she would probably adore this.
Yeah. You know what? I bet you're right.
She
was probably a lot like the girl, never as talkative.
Yeah.
But if she was hanging out, she was probably a lot like the girl with the braces.
So they, Sweetness and his crew, they do a hell of a show, and now it's X's turn, and Naps is like, I'm clutch. I got the song. I'll take care of it. And he runs up,
back. I don't know if I trust him. I love hearing the one kid, I don't know if I trust
him. I don't know if I trust him. I think that was like an 80-yard line. I don't think you see him say it. And they go out there, they drop their coats to Hollywood Swinging, and they are
Hollywood Swinging.
Completely different style.
Yeah, absolutely.
Of like the old ones are more disco.
Yes, I was going to say it's less disco.
And they are
a little more hip hop.
They're more street, and they're amazing at it.
Yeah.
I mean, they were, because again, they didn't show them do half this stuff until this point. You saw Sweetness and his crew.
You see X at the beginning. Like,
he's the only one you see.
Cool stuff.
But you never see the rest of his guys. And I'm like, how do they know? They're probably not that good. And then,
while I was watching this, I like marveled at the fact. I was like, oh, kids used to like get together and rehearse stuff like this for group skate. Like, this was a common enough thing that they knew that there were going to be crews rolling up with their little dances.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's what we got nowadays.
I mean, I guess we have TikTok dances.
Yeah. I mean, we have dance crews, stuff like that. I mean, it's not much different. It's just a different style. Yeah. Which is cool.
It seems like something that like everyone was in, you know, into, you know?
Yeah.
It must have been such a moment. Like
a lot of the stuff is moment in time.
When everyone was playing Pokemon Go. Somebody make a movie about that.
This movie's a moment in time.
Yeah.
I mean, really, how often do you see a roller rink these days?
Like I said, there was one in my neighborhood, but.
Yeah. I think my brother still has one in Jersey, but it's nothing like this. It looks like a gym.
Yeah, ours was someone halfway between those two things.
Yeah.
It wasn't quite this cool.
So they bust out to Hollywood swinging. They kick some ass. And now they have to decide who wins.
The DJ comes up.
He plays the drum roll on his wife's butt.
Again.
And they go, it's a tie.
It's a draw.
And the guys are happy. Yeah. X and them are like, that's great. We'll take half our money.
Pusses?
We're still getting like what?
$250? That's like a
no,
clean.
No, let's see. It was $500.
$1,000.
They're probably getting a grand.
In today.
A little more than
money.
A grand. Yeah. That's great. That'll get you through the summer.
Yeah.
And Sweetness isn't having it. And this is one of the few times you ever hear him talk.
Petty. Yeah, he did not speak. You barely saw his face even.
He just goes, Sweetness does not draw. He's like, no. I don't lose to this trash. And he's just like totally treating them like
and
shit.
And the kid was like, that's fine. We'll take our half the money. You can take the trophy.
Yeah, X is so cool about it. Yeah. He's like, dude.
He's like, you scared? And it's like, oh, come on.
He's like, yeah, you're scared that I'm going to kick your ass on the... He's like... Just me and you.
I'm scared about humiliating you in front of your friends. And everyone in the audience is like, ooh. And the dad's like, that's my boy.
And the daughter is hysterical because she's in love with Sweetness.
She's in love with Sweetness. And the dad's looking at her like, oh, God, it's starting.
When he skates by and gives her a little peck on the cheek with his finger, he's like, and she just faints. It's like, well, everybody just, can you fan this girl for me, please? They decide they're going to have a skate off. And they face off like, it's a dance-off. They're just each going to go one at a time. And holy crap. I mean, Some of the stuff they're pulling is insane.
I was looking back and forth, and I'm like, how do you pick?
Oh, I don't know. They like
it's too different. You're apples and oranges. Yeah. You're apples and tomatoes. I don't even know what to do about you.
But, I mean, Sweetness has that moment where he just... Oh, and the rule is if you fall, you lose.
Right, obviously.
And Sweetness does this one... There were a couple moves where... You're kind of laying on the floor.
But okay, if you do it on purpose.
But if you can jump back up, I'm pretty sure you're okay.
If you can do it, if you can make it look smooth, you're dancing. This isn't like a form competition. As long as it looks like you did it on purpose, it doesn't count.
Yeah, and Sweetness is pulling out all the stops, and then he does his move at the end where he just drops to the floor, rips that shirt off.
Yep. Oh, and you see his.
Oh.
The way he's flexing his abs is very strategic because he's actually, you can see that he's leaning his core as far back as possible.
Oh, yeah.
Make it look like he has more muscles there. And you can see it when he stops flexing instantly. His abs, there are half as many as there used to be.
And those pants are pretty high up.
Yes.
Those are some high pants.
Men look so good in pants like that. Bring back the high-waisted breeches, gentlemen.
They're not comfy, though. When you sit down, it like gets up and you... I don't like that. I like them just that waist level.
I mean, yeah, I guess your hips are in different places. I think high-waisted
jeans are very comfortable. I wear belts, that's why.
I hate belts no matter where the waist of the pants is.
All right. That's funny.
You should bleep me. I have to stop saying the F word.
No, we haven't been too bad this episode.
No, but
I think
still.
I said it once.
But still. Especially for, I think I've determined this should be the difference. If the movie is too inappropriate for us to care, we should say whatever words we want.
So now it's X's turn, and X decides, I'm going to pull the move. I'm going for the triple Lutz, which he's been trying this whole movie he's doing it on asphalt and breaking his butt every time.
He keeps looking at his arm. I'm like, yeah, you're scratching up the same arm in the same places, aren't you?
So he skates past the effeminate figure. Is that a bad way to say
it? No, he's effeminate.
Effeminate figure skater. They never say that he's gay, but you're pretty sure he's gay.
If you want to be more like modern, you could call him femme.
Okay. There you go.
I think that actually might have trans connotations, so don't.
Well, he was just, they pretty much play him as he's the gay guy who doesn't give a shit. And he just goes out there and
kicks
ass.
He goes out there
and
just does ice dancing.
Yes, he was excellent. And so X goes over to him, gives him a fist bump, and he's just like, you're going to do the move. And they're all just like, X, don't do the goddamn move.
You've been practicing and falling down. You've landed it maybe once.
And he does, he goes, he's in the air. It's slow motion. He's twirling. 1, 2, 3. You see that ankle turn, and he goes down, knocks himself out.
Sir, you should have just done the double.
And
it would have been impressive enough if you had done the double.
And the whole crowd just goes silent, and you see all of his friends' point of view of him from the floor.
It goes on for too long.
Yeah.
And for a certain, like, at first, it's like you're sitting there, and you're like, this is too long. And then you're sitting there, and you're like, okay, this is so long, it's funny.
Yeah. They family guide it. They drag it out until it's funny. And all his friends are like, X, if you're dead, can I have your Atari, man? X, are you alive? Tori's just like, X, we got to get him out of here. And then you see Chief McBride just like, son, get up, son. He's like, you dig? He goes, what happened? He's like, You did great, son. You did excellent.
And then his friends are like, you fell on your ass. And you tried to do the triple lutz, you idiot.
And he gets up. And there's Sweetness, and his friends are all about to kind of, like, give him crap. Like, his crew is about to give him crap. And Sweetness is just like, oh, no.
We respect this one.
And he just gives him, like, a little, like, head nod, like.
So satisfying from those little snarky little shits.
Yeah, he shuts his guys down. He's just like, nah, I gotta respect this kid.
Look, I feel bad for them. They're closeted, and they probably will be until their 30s when they leave their wives after getting really drunk and making out with each other. But
I think it was the 70s, and guys just knew if they dressed slightly effeminate, they could probably pick up chicks.
No way. Troy, at the very
least. We gotta watch Saturday Night Fever.
No, sure. But Troy was not straight. Yeah. Troy was trying way too hard.
He was a little.
Troy was. The other
But
guy,
then again, he went out with Naomi.
So?
No, I'm just saying, they do make a point that he was trying to hook up with Naomi.
Yeah, I wonder why they make that point so hard.
you're really fighting
Troy
for Troy to be gay.
Troy is gay.
I would have said the Asian guy.
The Asian guy's too obvious. He's bisexual, maybe, if anything.
I would have put him more as gay.
He's snarky in, I can't describe, he's snarky in a way that I'm like, he might just be gay, but he could do a girl if he really wanted to. That other guy, Troy, I don't think he could get it up.
Oh my God. You're obsessed with Troy.
I'm not obsessed with Troy. I'm just trying to, I'm letting you know how I read them.
There's a lot of Vampire Diary fans who are going, come on, Mel, be nice to Troy.
There's nothing wrong with being
gay. I didn't say there was anything wrong. You're just like obsessed with it.
I don't think I'm obsessed with
joking,
it.
I'm joking. I'm kidding. I'll cut that out. Oh my God. So he gets his respect. That's the movie.
Yeah.
That's pretty much it. They end on,
there's
like,
more skating.
Oh, well, he, no.
Oh, Naomi.
He kisses Naomi.
Naomi comes in. He's like, who's it? The dad's like, whose daughter is this?
And then the mom, and Vivian's like, oh, come on, let him. It's cute. And then she turns and Tori's making out with Junior.
Because this was the scene where Tori had come back and she's like, look at me.
And she's hot,
like,
as hell, yeah.
And I really, really loved how they did it because all the boys were like, damn. But it was so, like, it was, there was a respectful air to it that I could not describe if I tried.
And Junior still makes fun of her at the end.
Junior still makes fun of her.
Because it's like a mutual respect
X
now.
And X is like, kind of stuttering, trying to find the words. And he's like, Tori, you look great. But it's very like, almost brotherly. Yeah. Like, it's just a respect. Like, all right, you prettied up. All the boys are being, it's great.
She had a good glow up.
It's
how you
react to a female friend's glow up. And it wasn't objectifying, but it was very supportive.
But she was objectifying herself because she's like, you guys didn't know that all this was under all that.
Yeah, that's okay.
Yeah,
she
I know. She's
first.
She's showing it up. She's going,
she
I am.
First.
And you can look, you better not touch.
They're being respectful. The way I liked the way.
And Naps, will you marry me?
Just that was so funny.
That was adorable.
I liked the way it was written, and it was really subtle, and I couldn't explain you why it was respectful. It just, it was. It didn't have the gross flavor to it.
No, it was cute. It was just a cute scene with a girlfriend.
The only one who was clear, ones who were clearly hitting on her had their jaws on the floor.
Yeah, so she's making out. So the joke was, Chi McBride's like, who's making out with my son? And then
and the mom,
Vivian's like, it's
leave
okay.
Leave it alone.
And then she turns, Tori's making out
and
with
like,
Junior.
Oh.
And she's like, oh, sorry, Mom. And Junior's just like, sorry. And they just go back to make
and
it out.
Like, we're not done. And he's just, like, I'm not that sorry.
And he's just like, Chi McBride's like, what? It's fine. Let him do it. And she's just like, fine. I'm surprised she didn't make out with Chi McBride at
the
end of this thing.
It's pretty clear that they've been.
Oh, yeah, they've been dating. So the movie's over, and then you get the end credit sequence where all the main cast are, like, decked out with really cool-ass clothes. You have some people in, like, modern clothes because they're just having a skate. It was probably the rap party.
Yeah, it looks like it was. And this is an all skate. And you can tell all skate also meant the crew.
Oh, yeah. It was great. And it's just watching all of these skaters showing off for like the cast. And it was phenomenal. It was so much fun to watch. Like I said, I have a blast with this movie. I love this film. I loved it the first time I saw it. My girlfriend loves this movie. I try to show it to people. No one's ever heard of it.
No, I don't know why.
It's just a fun movie you can watch with pretty much PG-13 for a couple of lines.
Yeah.
Other than that, You can watch this.
I would show this movie to any child older than like 11, maybe 9, if they were a mature 9.
It's a little long. It's almost 2 hours. I was kind of surprised.
Yeah, I didn't bother with Tubi. I rented it.
Oh, okay.
Because I was like, I don't want commercials. I can't.
I watched it on Tubi because I was eating dinner. And I was just like, I'll go do stuff during commercials.
I woke up this morning. I was like, you can shower first, or you can watch the movie first.
And the DVD's sitting right over there.
My body was like, you are not getting out of bed. And I was like, all right. So we're not going to have time to watch the thing with commercials, so let's rent it.
There you go.
Then I tried to rent it on YouTube, and I went to press the button 3 times, and it just didn't go through. And then I entered another app, pressed no buttons, and it said your purchase was successful. And I was like, oh, no, I successfully rented it on YouTube. Went back to YouTube, couldn't play it.
Oh, my God.
So, like, YouTube, I tried to use your rental option, and it was unusable. Good job.
I've never used YouTube for any of that.
I didn't want to have to use Amazon's, because Amazon's, you can't cast directly to your TV. At least I thought I could do YouTube's and cast it directly to my TV. No, I still had to buy it on my phone, then go through to Amazon, then open it up in my stuff.
It's a whole thing.
I don't care about your proprietary battles, you rich, just CEO tech bro asshats. Make your stuff talk to each other. The rest of us on the ground don't deserve this just because you guys want to have petty battles over who's making more money. Make your stuff for people. Just stop it. Jeffrey, I'm talking to you.
Jeffrey?
Bezos.
Oh, I never think of him as Jeffrey.
Jeffrey Bezos. See, if you had seen Inside, you would understand that.
Okay. See Inside. All right, so let's rate this thing. I'll go first. Out of an 11, I just have a love for this movie. I'm giving it a 9.
Mm-hmm.
Soundtrack, the actors all work perfect. I mean, they look like they had the best summer ever making this movie.
Oh my God, yeah.
I just like this film. I just have a good time. I put this on and I have a good day.
Yeah.
You know,
it's going to be a lovely day.
Lovely day. And I'm giving it a 9 out of 11.
10.
Wow. 10. Look at you.
I couldn't find fault in this movie. It was a really good time. It gave me all the good feelings of movies like The Goonies and The Sandlot.
Mm.
And like none of the weird bad stuff about like, look, movies about white kids in these positions always end up with the kid in some kind of weird chosen one place and they have to save the day.
Yeah.
These kids got to be normal kids at the end. The father was supportive. The parents were there. They didn't have to fix the parents' problems. The parent like helped them fix their problems. It fixed everything that was wrong with those movies.
Yeah. It's an absolute delightful film. And it's so much fun. Every age group for the most part can enjoy it. And it's well put together. I mean, everything looks great in this movie. It looks time period accurate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's excellent.
I kept getting taken in and out of it because like it would remind me of the 2000s and the way it was being shot and edited. Yeah. But then I would go back in and I'd be like, the costume choices are on point. The houses, the setting. This is clearly the 70s.
And I love you. Just like, where'd you get those iron-on patches for your shirt? And it's like, no, those were like what you used to put on your shirt back in the day. Those little felt iron-on things that spelled out your name. I was just like, that's just great little touches. So, yeah, we liked Roll Bounce.
I loved it. Great time. Everyone, Black History Month indeed. Everyone should watch this movie.
Yeah, everyone should watch this movie. So, next week is Mel's turn to choose for me.
Oh, yes.
What are you going to make me watch, Mel?
I forget why we settled on this logic, but we wanted to do more animated stuff. I think it's maybe been a little while.
Okay.
And it's only going to be cold for so much longer.
Uh-oh.
And so I've decided that I'm going to go with Frozen 2.
Ew. Mm-hmm. No. God damn it.
And for some reason, you don't like Frozen 1, which is baffling to me.
I do not like Frozen 1.
I love Frozen.
Mindy and I sat and watched that, and the opening number in that movie was the equivalent of what the opening number in Encanto did to me, to her. She's like, I just couldn't take the screaming. Like, she doesn't like Idina Menzel's voice.
She doesn't like belting.
I don't either. Really? I didn't like her in Wicked.
You guys should saw not Wicked, I didn't watch like me it. Perform.
No, but she's always like just that, the western sky, and she just goes for it, and you're just kind of like, all right, take
it's
it
up
down.
There. It's very nasal. It's very modern Broadway. It's hard
and
to do.
She's talented as hell.
She has extra teeth in her mouth, like Freddie Mercury.
Oh, Jesus. I didn't know that.
I don't know if that's true, but she does have the jaw thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if she has the actual extra teeth, but she does have like an unusually large jaw.
Wow.
When your jaw is that much bigger, sound reverberates more in your mouth before it leaves, and you can literally just get a better sound out of your vocal instrument.
I just...
It's like Michael Phelps having web feet.
Frozen also was played out by the time I saw it.
Oh, really? That's a shame.
Kids ruined it. Like, it.
I understand.
Let
that.
It go is was Baby Shark is now.
I know. I
and
get it.
I hated that song. And then I saw the movie and I hated that song even more.
That's really a shame. Because the thing is, I was excited for Frozen for like 2 years before it came out.
Really?
My friend and I had been talking about it because she was like, they're making one based on the Snow Queen. I'm like, they're doing fairy tales again. They're doing princess fairy tales with like Broadway singers again. Yeah. I'm so excited. It was a Broadway composer. And I was
who
there.
Who composed it?
It was the same people who did Avenue Q. Robert Lopez.
And, was it really?
Yeah. What's his wife's name?
Jesus, I didn't.
Yeah. It's the Avenue Q composers.
I love Avenue Q. So I'm kind of, that I've wanted a movie of.
Yeah.
I would love an Avenue Q movie. It would be hilarious.
It would be really
good. Oh, God.
I feel like we're entering a new puppet era. I think the Muppets are gaining popularity.
I hope so, because Disney does not utilize them.
I cannot believe. We were just talking about this last night, because my friends and I were watching the first Muppets movie, because we just watched the Defunct Land documentary about, guys, oh my God, if you don't watch Defunct Land on YouTube, this guy is one of the best modern documentarians that we have. And, like, I know everybody watches it, and, like, it's probably kind of, like, whatever for me to be mentioning it, because it's like, of course I've seen that. If you haven't, watch Defunct Land. It's just, everyone's going to know this. You're missing out on culture if you haven't seen it yet.
Yeah.
And it's just so nice. He goes back over, like, stuff from our childhoods, like Nick Gass and the Nickelodeon Hotel.
That's a good episode.
That was a really good one.
Action Park is my favorite one, because I used to go to Action
Noelle
Park.
Noelle talks about my roommate grew up in Jersey
and she
went to Action Park. I
got injured three times at Action Park.
Jesus, Adam, you're going to have to tell me those stories.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to have to digress and you're going to have to tell the Action Park stories and we're going to have to package it separately. The one about the Disney, the Disney like ears song, the Disney Channel theme, that one made me cry.
Yeah, I saw they did an episode on that. I'm like, how much can you do an episode on that?
Oh my God.
It was that little do-do-do-do.
Because he was trying to find the composer. And he went down this rabbit hole. And Adam, the way it became a tribute to like creators and like the shit we used to do at NSTARS, I cried.
Really?
Yes, you got to watch it.
I'll check it out.
What was I saying though?
Just about Defunct Land and how you were watching the Muppets and
Muppets,
you
we
watched
back the Defunct. Puppets. Oh, Frozen.
Muppets and back.
We were talking about next week.
Yeah.
Frozen. I saw it on opening day. So like I saw it immediately. There was no hype. There was no anything. And they barely done trailers for this movie. I was the only person I knew who was excited about it.
I remember that. They didn't. It was just.
They did not hype it.
They didn't do much with the second one either. It was just her at the ocean.
Because Disney had been kind of going through, and this is where I get to talk about my hyperfixation, which is Disney history. Disney had been going through what we've been calling, we called an experimental era, which was after the last of the 90s fairy tales, like the Disney Renaissance proper, which I think Tarzan was probably the last one I would count. They started putting out different movies that were more experimental things.
Like Atlantis.
And Treasure Planet, which friggin' the CEO killed on purpose, I swear to God. The advertising for them was terrible. I love Atlantis.
I do too.
And like Lilo and Stitch was like Lilo and Stitch and the Emperor's New Groove, which was one of the other
Lilo
movies
and Stitch
I was going to
suggest
for you.
I am so worried about that live action.
Yes, me too. They were like the really, really successful ones from that era. And then things fell off and they started trying to experiment with CGI. And of course, it wasn't perfect at first. And they made Chicken Little and that was
terrible. That movie's atrocious.
And they like Meet the Robinsons was pretty good. They started climbing the hill again. And Tangled. They had been working on Tangled with animator Glenn Keane, whose last project.
I didn't like Tangled either.
Really?
Didn't like Tangled.
Oh, I think Tangled is so sweet.
I think I'm one of the few people on the planet that don't think Tangled's that interesting.
I think Tangled is so sweet. I just watch it for comfort. It's no masterpiece, but it's really sweet. Glenn Keane had been working on that, and he did the animation for all of my favorite classics. Like, he drew Ariel, he drew Tarzan.
It's designed beautifully.
It's lovely.
I just don't like the movie that much.
It's fine. It's fine.
I think the movie's just mediocre. I think it's a beautiful looking film. I just think it's mediocre.
Princess and the Frog came out and that was kind of their farewell to classic animation. Princess and the Frog, I saw in theaters four times.
That movie does not get enough credit and it's disgusting that it doesn't get enough credit.
I know. Thank God for the ride.
Yeah.
Yes. And she should have a restaurant.
A soul food restaurant would be, or a Louisiana style restaurant.
Change Blue Bayou. It's right there. anyway, like that, having that princess walk through, but what was I saying?
I don't know. Something about them. You keep going to the Muppets and forgetting you're talking about the Muppets.
Oh, all of that was closed when I went to Disney World, which was really, really sad.
All the
you
Muppet
could walk
stuff?
Through Muppet, like, yeah, in Hollywood Studios. All of a sudden, I looked around and I was like, this is not California anymore. This is weirdly familiar. Where are we? And then I looked up and it was like, something theater, Muppets. I was like, this is New York. This is like a weird mini version of my hometown. It's like when we were on the gondolas and we drove past the Boardwalk Resort and I'm like, that's just New Jersey. I've been there, I think.
One thing they need to do is, I don't know what's up with Kermit's voice lately.
Oh, well, cause...
The new guy, his voice is, it's like really low now, and he kind of sounds like elderly Kermit. It's freaking, I watched, what's that show, that stupid golf show? It's like mini golf, but Wipeout.
I have no idea what you're talking about.
It's fun. It's funny. Rob Riggle's on it.
Oh.
And
is it kind of like The Floor is Lava?
Yeah, but it's mini golf. It's a gigantic mini golf course that you can get like knocked into water and
that's
stuff.
That's funny.
What the hell is that called? I'm not going to look that up.
I thought The Floor was Lava. Like that was a show with such good potential. It was just so under-edited or over-edited. I really couldn't tell. It was like they either didn't get enough content or didn't know how to string the content together to make a coherent story.
Holy moly.
Okay.
It's kind of a funny show. It's just a bunch of goofballs like playing mini golf for a lot of money.
That's fun.
And what's his name is like one of the hosts is that basketball player. I forget his name.
Not Shaq.
No. I'll tell you right now. Stephen Curry he pretends
Steph
like
Curry, yeah.
He kind of runs the show, but Rob Riggle and this other guy who's an actual sportscaster do the play-by-play and it's hilarious. And they had the Muppets on for like a season. And Kermit just sounded like, he started sounding like another character.
I mean, listen, he's an old frog, dude.
I know, but it's not that hard to do a Kermit the Frog. I think I could get a job, please.
That was pretty good. It's like, Will turned on newer episodes of The Simpsons recently, and I heard Marge's voice, and I was like, that's wrong.
Oh, yeah. She's starting to lose that voice. It sucks. I feel bad for her.
It's the same actress?
Yeah.
Oh, honey, please, you're going to hurt yourself.
She always had that voice. Since the Tracy Ullman show, she had that voice.
You gotta chill, babe.
All right. You want to wrap this up?
Yeah.
Okay.
So Frozen next week.
Frozen 2.
Frozen 2. So. What I was going to finish saying to you was I saw that movie in theaters when there was no hype, and I was like, this is the new everything. And then I saw it several more times. Anyway.
All right. So next week on the show, Mel's going to torture me with Frozen 2. So until next time, I've been Adam Mock.
I've been Melanie Weir.
And we just made you watch
a podcast.
See you next time.